Deuteronomy chapter number 28, and we're going to be reading the first six verses together. Now, what we're going to do this morning is that we're going to read it together. When I say read together, I actually want to, I want you to participate in the reading of God's word. So it's going to be projected so that we're going to be reading from the same version, New King James Version. That's great. So Deuteronomy chapter number 28, we're going to read from verse 1. I want you to read half loud in faith. What that means is that you're reading and the person beside you is able to hear you. That's our definition, you know, of reading out in faith. Let's go. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Verse number 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. This morning, we're going to be starting a new series. I'm excited to actually, dive into the word of the Lord. We've called it Blessed Beyond Belief. Blessed Beyond Belief. Let us pray. Lord, as we go into your word this morning, let light again shine from heaven. Lord, we humble ourselves under your mighty hands, and we ask that you will speak to us clearly, expressly, in the way and manner that we will understand. Lord, let it mix with faith in our heart. I ask that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people, my brethren. And I ask, O Lord, that you anoint me afresh and make my tongue to become the pen, like the pen of a ready writer. Lord, let your word drop as the rain this morning. Let it distill as the dew of the morning. Let this word bring empowerment, divine empowerment into our heart. Let it connect us with that blessing that you've got for individuals and for us as a church family. To the praise and the glory of your name, for we have prayed in Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Blessed beyond belief. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt you knew something so well, and all of a sudden you were given the opportunity to display your knowledge, only to discover that you actually failed woefully, and discover in the process that you actually did not have as much knowledge as you thought you actually had regarding the subject? And it is actually this failure that reveals to you that you really didn't know as much as you thought you knew. You know, in other words, the failure experience actually revealed to you that you didn't actually know it very well, and you didn't have it all together as you had thought. You got humbled by that. You know, I remember years ago when I was asked to come and take a driving lesson, moving into this country. I felt insulted because at that time I thought I actually knew to drive. I'd driven in places where you were going to consider very difficult in terms of driving and traffic. And I'd driven in Johannesburg in South Africa. I'd driven in Lagos, Nigeria. These are places where the rule is that there are no rules in certain roads, you know. So when I came around and they said, you're going to be tested, I felt, insulted. I mean, do you know who I am? You know, I've driven it. I should actually be one of your instructors. I should be instructing the instructors. You know, that was what I said in my mind. But And then I went for this test. I mean, and I flunked it the first time, you know, and I was mad, you know, with the instructor. I felt you were biased, you know. And then I said, I want to see the manager. I want to speak to the manager, you know. And they organized a little bit of meeting. And the gentleman said, I'm sorry, you just didn't pass. You didn't pass because you didn't. I was very embarrassed. And then I put in it again. And then I failed the second time. And then I realized, oh, okay, maybe I actually was not as good as I thought I was, you know, after all. Now, don't look at me as if you never failed a driving test before. I know some of you that have failed us as well. Now, it was that failure that brought to my understanding that I was not that good, or at least in the context of driving in Western Australia. Such failings bring to the fore that you're probably not as good as you thought you were. Now, the subject that we're starting today is a subject that some of you will feel that you actually knew so well. You probably don't even think that there is any reason to talk about it, talking about blessing, you know, the blessing of God, you know. We feel we know it all well. And part of the things that make us think so is because it's find its way into our vocabulary, you know. Some of us will not complete a day without using the word the blessing of God or God bless you, you know, or bless you, or may the blessing of the Lord be upon you. And so we feel that we know it very well. Now, but the truth of the matter is that you should ask yourself the question that as if many believers, if all believers rather, that claim to know about the blessing of God and they claim to actually have an understanding of this blessing, then we shouldn't be having as many failures and failings in our lives that the way we have been experiencing. In other words, if we claim we actually understand what the blessing of God is, then our life should be reflective of that blessing and not the other, the opposite. Because to be very honest, some of the experiences that we have had over the years will probably make us believe that we really don't have as much knowledge in this area as we have always believed. Now, when I say knowledge, I'm not just talking about head knowledge. In other words, we have not got a grasp of it. Even though we talk about it, even though it's found its way into our vocabulary, even though we never complete a sentence without making the word God bless you or the blessing of the Lord be upon you and all stuff, but we still don't have a grasp of it because our life does not reflect that blessing. You know, it's almost like, you know, how movie stars want us to believe that they understand so much about the subject of love, you know, simply because they have been churning out movies over the years. They want to give us the impression that they understand what love is. And I'm not even talking about the love of God. I'm talking about, you know, the love between a man and a woman. But when we x-ray their life, as a matter of fact, we don't even need to move too close to understand that they actually don't understand what love is. Otherwise, they are not going to be having the breakups, the breakdown, the complete confusion that exists in the marriages of many of the people that we adore, you know, that always don our TV set. Now, it's almost like that. Because people talk about love on the TV set because they churn out dramas or movie series does not necessarily mean they understand what love is all about. The same way the fact that we hear people talk about the blessing of God or God bless you or may you be blessed does not necessarily mean that they understand the blessing of God. At least they have not grasped it, because if you actually you are able to grasp what it is to be blessed of God, then many of the things that is happening in our lives will probably not happen. I'm talking about the things that is happening in our life in the negative sense. So the question this morning is, what does it mean to be blessed? Maybe the place to start is actually to find out, what do we understand? What do we want? Why do we want to learn about the blessings of God? Don't forget, I said this series is going to be blessed beyond belief. Blessed beyond belief. Why do we want to talk about this blessed beyond belief? Why do we want to talk about the blessing of God? To start with, the truth of the matter is I don't want us to just talk about it. I actually want us to understand it, and understand it to the point that we're able to apply it to our lives, because that's when it makes a difference. It's not so just understanding it in the head, it's actually allowing it to trickle down into your hearts to bring a transformation. That's the word of God. when the word of God is allowed to actually have its full effect, it brings a change. It brings a transformation. It doesn't just make our heads to swell. It makes our hearts to be transformed. And that's why when we're talking about these blessings of God over the next couple of weeks, I want us to go beyond just talking about it in the sense of a lecture. I want us to talk about it in a way that is going to bring a transformation right from within our heart. Because to be blessed, actually, a life that is devoid of God's blessing, and this is the reason why we want to talk about it, a life that is devoid of God's blessing is a hard life. It is a difficult life. It is a life that is filled with struggles. It is a life that is filled with turmoil. It is a life that is filled with tension, simply because it is devoid of the blessing of God. It is not just hard, it is also a bland life. What do I mean by that? It's not just a hard life in the sense of the fact that it's difficult, it is also bland. It is tasteless, it is dull, and it is boring, simply because it does not have the blessing of God attached to it. It is hard, it is bland, but it is also blank. It is blank in the sense that it is empty, it is unfilled, it is void, of the purpose for which that life is intended to fulfill. So that's the reason why we want to talk about it, because it makes a lot of difference if it is in your life or if it is not in your life. Like I said, we want to talk about it because we want to engage with God in such a way that we're able to exactly attract this blessing into our life and walk in the reality of this blessing. So the purpose of this teaching is to discover how to live a blessed life. How to live a blessed life. What that means is that a life that is full of God's blessing, that shows God's blessing, that drips God's blessing. This life is not supposed to be a hard life because it is filled with God's blessing. It's not supposed to be a bland life. It is not supposed to be a blank life. It is supposed to be filled with God's blessing, which means that everything that is supposed to be fulfilled in terms of purpose is being able to be accomplished simply because this life is blessed. Now, let's talk to the grammarians. What does it mean to be blessed? They will tell us to be blessed means to be favored, to be happy, or to experience some form of goodness. And that's great. But I just don't want us to focus on the English definition of the word blessed. I want us to focus on what is in the heart of God when he talks about blessing. Because that's actually what's important to you and to me. It is what is in the heart of God when he talks about this blessing. And the way to understand the heart of God in many things, theologians will tell us, is what we refer to as the law of first mention. What that means is this. The heart of God is revealed regarding a subject at the first time that word is actually used or mentioned in the Bible. In other words, the first time you come across that word in the Bible gives you an overview of what the mind of God is regarding that subject or regarding that issue. And in this particular instance, we discover that the word blessed or a form of it, blessing or a form of it, is actually found in the very first book. As a matter of fact, in the very first chapter of the first book, we call it Genesis. Turn your Bibles with me this morning, if you may, to Genesis chapter number 1. And I want us to see what exactly is in the mind of God when we talk about blessing or being blessed. Genesis chapter number 1, and this is talking about the creation. Look at what it says in verse number 22. Let's start from verse 21 so that we get an idea of what we're talking about. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." Verse 22 again, and God blessed them, saying. So from that you discover that this is actually what the mind of God is regarding the blessing. It says, God blessed them, saying. So God blessed them and pronounced this word. What were the words? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea. So we have an idea of what goes on in the mind of God when he says the word blessed. It means to multiply, it means to be fruitful, and it means to fill. So you see the word multiply. So the blessing means to multiply. Blessing means to be fruitful. Blessing means to be filled. I'll say that again. The word blessing means multiplication. It means fruitfulness. It means to be filled. So if anything in your life does not look like being fruitful, if anything in your life does not look like multiplying, if anything in your life is not looking like it's being filled with some good things, with some good positive attributes from God, then it simply means that two things, possibly. One, that you are not blessed. And I say that with reference to the word of God. It means you're not blessed. If you're not experiencing multiplication, if you're not experiencing fruitfulness, and if you're not experiencing the feeling of great virtue from God, it means you're not blessed. It could also mean that you are not blessed with up to the capacity that you could be. In other words, you are not filled to overflowing. It could mean either of those. God, when it will now come to man, a few verses after, we see what God actually means when he says blessed, especially when it comes to humanity, you and I. Look at what it says as you go down a few verses and go to verse number 27. The Bible says, so God created man in his image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Look at what he says in verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them. Each time the word God blesses, and I love the way the Bible talks about the fact that God blesses, and then he expresses what God says to what he has blessed. Look at what he says to the first man that he made. He says, be fruitful. Just like he said to the previous creatures, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Stop. So this is actually very much what he said in verse 22 when he blessed the initial those creatures. Be fruitful. In other words, blessing means fruitfulness in all areas of your life. Multiply. Blessing means you are multiplying, or some people will say increase in your life. And fill the earth. Blessing means you are being filled. Your life is being filled, not with chaos, not with confusion, but it's being filled with great blessings. It's being filled with virtues from the Most High. But it goes beyond that. When it comes to you and I, the Bible says, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So there is a little bit, a different dimension added to this expression of blessing when it came to the issue of man. Says, be fruitful, multiply, fill, and then it goes further to say, subdue. The word subdue means to overcome. The word subdue means to conquer. It means to master. Subdue. I'll put you there to master, to subdue, to overcome, to conquer the earth. And it goes further to say, have dominion. To have dominion means to be ruler, to be a ruler, or to be in control. You say someone is having dominion and is in charge. Now, those other two descriptors, if you may, actually talks about someone being in charge of something and exercise some authority. Now, there is a power dimension that comes into the play, into the scene, when the blessings of God comes on board. It means there is a power aspect, there is a power component that comes into it, because you don't talk about subduing, you don't talk about overcoming, you don't talk about having dominion if there is no power. There has to be a power behind someone who wants to exercise authority or dominion. When they pass legislation, any piece of legislation, they usually will formulate and put together a law that backs that thing up. Now, the law is supposed to give it power for it to be able to be enforced. It makes it to be able to be enforced by the authority. If the law is not there, then they don't have any legal basis to be able to enforce what has just been passed. It's just a piece of paper if it does not have this backing of the law. So when you're talking about subduing, overcoming, control, being in charge, that's all part and parcel of the blessing of God. In other words, there is a power component that comes into blessing. So when you are blessed, there is a force that comes upon your life that makes what the Lord wants to do in your life and in your sphere of influence to be enforceable, as it were, so that it's not just a pronouncement. You know, when you use the word bless me, we see it as a weak, you know, as a spineless, you know, pronouncement. But that's not true. The word blessing comes with some power. There is a force that comes with it. And that force is to be able to ensure that you are able to enforce the authority within your domain. That's why I use the word dominion and have dominion. In other words, you have a domain. A domain is the extent of your influence. So it comes with power. So it's not just about multiplying. It's not just about fruitfulness. It's not just about feeling. There is an aspect of the blessing of God that comes with power to be able to enforce it. As a matter of fact, the multiplication and the increase and the fruitfulness, more often than not, is not possible without the backing of a force, a backing of a power. So when I say you are blessed, I am saying that there is a power behind you that makes whatsoever you do to prosper. As a matter of fact, that's why I love this definition that puts blessing as the empowerment to prosper. I love that. You are blessed. You are said to be blessed when you are empowered to prosper. There is a power force that backs up your ability to achieve and to accomplish. So when I say you are blessed, I'm saying you are empowered to prosper. You know, oftentimes when we close our services, I say things like when I pray and then I close like, go and prosper. You've heard me say that before, right? And it's not a cliche. It's not just that I want to sound cool. It's a pronouncement of blessing. When I say go and prosper, I'm not giving you an advice. I am, by the authority of God, put upon me as the under shepherd of this house, I am imparting you with the power to be able to go and to effect dominion. So when I say go and prosper, don't smile. Okay, don't laugh. It is a time for you to connect with that word, the word of faith, the word of authority that has gone forth. I say go into your week and prosper. There is a power because the blessing, the expression of the blessing in your life does not just come without the backing of a power, the backing of a force, you know, the backing of a power. That's why when people want to go, when the government wants to go and arrest criminals, dangerous criminals especially, they don't just send somebody in suit, you know, go and bring that guy, you know. They don't just look for somebody who is a business executive, well-dressed, you know, or someone that is wearing a nice, you know, skirt and blouse. Go and bring that guy. You know, no. They actually send people that are harmed. Why? Because what they want to effect will need the backing of some force, the backing of a power. An expression of force. And you need that in your life. You need that in my life. You will know that we are living in a space in time and history where things don't just work except there is a backing of a force, a backing of a power that makes them to work. That's why you don't just show up and things begin to happen to your favor until you have this blessing, this backing of a power, this backing of a force. What I'm saying in essence is the blessing of the Lord comes upon you and it backs you up with some power and with some force. So that every aspect of your life, whether in terms of your relationship, whether in terms of your finances, whether in terms of your health, there is a power that backs it up to make it to work the way God has ordained. So it is not just something that happens. It is something that is made to happen because of the backing of a power. This power is resident in the pronouncement of God. So when God says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, it wasn't giving an advice. It was making a pronouncement that is backed with power. And the power comes from him. He is the one that supplies the power. And he says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the heart, subdue it, take charge, take control, be in charge, have dominion. It's your sphere of influence. I want you to have dominion. But it comes because there is a pronouncement of the blessing of God upon you, Adam and Eve. And that was why they were able to exhibit that dominion, at least to the extent they were able to before sin came into the picture. Now, how do I experience this blessing force, this force that I've just described? How do I experience it? How do I experience the empowerment to prosper? That's exactly what the Bible talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the passage we've just read. I want you to turn there. How do I experience this blessing? Because I can hear you say, look, I think I need a dose of what you're talking about this morning, Pastor. I think I need a dose of this blessing. Because things don't seem to be going in the right direction in my life. You know, things seem to be chaotic, you know, around me. How do I experience a dose of this blessing? This blessing that comes with increase, multiplication, filling. How do I experience it? Look at what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I want you to pay particular attention to this because, like they say, if you blink, you miss. I don't want you to blink here. Now, look at what it says in verse 1. Now, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you above all the nations of the earth. All nations of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, this is a very powerful, powerful statement. This is a very powerful portion of the scripture. And I want you to pay attention. Now, when you look at what the Bible says in verse number 1 and 2, the immediate thing that jumps onto you on the surface is the fact that for you to experience the blessing, and I've just defined the blessing in the last couple of minutes as the empowerment to prosper. The backing, the force of heaven is behind you to make you to experience increase, multiplication, fruitfulness, a feeling of all good things in your life, the fulfillment of your purpose and destiny. Some people will say there is a backing. When the blessing of God comes upon you, there is a force that makes that to happen. There is a force that makes that to be able to happen. Now, and it doesn't matter wherever you are, whether you are at home or you are at work or you are wherever you are, if you manage to find yourself in space, when the blessing of God comes upon you, it means that wherever you operate, there is a force that backs you up, that makes things to work on your behalf, that makes things to work for your good. Now, but when you look at this verse, the first impression you have is that you need to obey for the Lord to be able to pronounce the blessing upon you. Look at what it says in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. High above all nations of all the earth, if you diligently obey. Now, so you say, well, once I obey, then the Lord will bless me. That's what you'll probably get from here. Now, that is true, but it's not the whole truth. It is not incorrect, but it is incomplete. Now, because the impression you have here is that God is waiting for you to do the next right thing, and then he's going to bless you. God is waiting for you to do the next right thing, and then he's going to pronounce his blessing upon you. But that's not exactly the way the blessing of God operates. The way the blessing of the Lord operates, it operates within the context of a relationship, not in the context of a performance. And I will explain that in a short while. Now, if you look at verse number 1 and 2, you keep coming across this word, the Lord your God. Look at verse 1 again. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. All right, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, one of the things you first ask yourself is, so why is this reputation about the Lord your God? I mean, why not just say God? Why not just say God and just move on? Why this, you know, expanded name of God being used there? It's very simple. You see, the word Lord is from the Hebrew word Lord is called Yahweh. So when you come back, when you see the word Lord written in the Bible, it's from the Hebrew word Yahweh. And then when you see the word God, it's from the Hebrew word Elohika or Elohim. Now, don't get confused. We're not going to Hebrew classes here, but I'm just setting a foundation. So when he says the Lord your God, this is what the expression that God uses when he wants to define his authority within the context of an established relationship. Now, what I'm saying is this. This blessing that God is going to be, this blessing that, the, that we're talking about here, is not coming upon these people, and we're going to see who the people are in a short while. It's not coming upon them because he is God, the creator. He's coming upon them because he is God who is in a relationship with them. It's the establishment of the authority of God that comes to play within the context of an established relationship. That's why he uses the word the Lord your God. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter number 1, this is what you're going to see. In the beginning, God, all right? As the creator, he creates. And that's the relationship at chapter number 1. But when it comes to the time that God begins to talk to Adam as to establishing authority or rulership upon the earth, he begins to reveal himself to them as the Lord your God or the Lord God. What I'm saying is that your experience of a blessing does not wait until you start to do the right thing or you start to obey God before you are, the pronouncement of the blessing of God comes upon your life. I'll rephrase that. The pronouncement of God upon your life, the pronouncement of blessing, the blessing of God upon your life, does not wait until you start doing the right thing, which is obey the commandment, before it is released upon you. That pronouncement actually predates your doing the right thing, your obeying the word of the Lord. Now, somebody will say, so how do we understand that in this context? You look at what the Bible says in the preceding chapter, chapter 27. And I want you to get this because it's going to liberate you from your performance, you know, mentality. You're going to begin to see that your blessing is actually orchestrated by the love that God has for you ever before the issue of your obedience come into play. Deuteronomy chapter 27, look at what the Bible says in verse 9. Now, whatsoever you are reading in chapter number 28 was a word that was spoken by Moses. Moses spoke those words. But in verse number chapter number 27, it tells us what was the context when Moses actually spoke those words. Look at what he says. Chapter 27, verse 9. Then Moses and the priests and Levites spoke to all Israel, saying, take heed and listen, O Israel. This day, you have become the people of the Lord your God. This day, today, you have become the people of the Lord your God. What that means is that God has today chosen you as his people. God has today chosen you as his people. And then it's now going to go further. And the statement he's going to make now is going to be on the basis of this relationship of being chosen by God. Look at verse 10. Therefore, you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe his commandment and his statutes, which I command you today. Do you see what I'm seeing there? There is first a choice. God chose those people to become his own. And then on the basis of that, he says, I'm going to give you a commandment that I want you to observe. Now, but the pronouncement of the blessing of God came upon these people by the virtue of the fact that they were chosen by God. They were the people that God has chosen for himself. So the commandment only, the obedience came much later. The choice came earlier. And the blessing of God upon Israel as a people was already pronounced on the basis of the fact that they were chosen. Now, why am I saying all of this? The truth of the fact is this. You are not going to be waiting to be blessed. You are already blessed. In other words, there is a pronouncement of God's blessing already upon your life. Now, by the time you understand that, the way you will express your love to the one who blessed you before you began to obey will be different. And that's exactly what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 1. So what I'm saying in essence is you are not a failure trying to succeed. You are a success in the process of expressing yourself. Why? Because God is not waiting for you to begin to obey before he pronounced the blessing upon your life. You are a blessed person. You are not cursed. You are blessed. That's what the Bible says. In other words, there is an empowerment upon your life to prosper. There is the force of heaven upon your life right here, right now. If you're saved and born again, and there is a force upon your life that wants to give expression to the blessing of God. There is a force upon your life that wants to ensure that you fulfill God's purpose and God's plan for your life already there right now. You know, it's not waiting. No, the Bible says something in Ephesians chapter number 1. This came by revelation to a man by the name Paul. Look at what it says. Ephesians chapter number 1. Look at what it says in verse number 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. You know, the word blessed there means praise be to God, you know. This comes from somebody who is excited by the revelation that he has just received. Now, what's the revelation? Blessed be the Lord, the God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now, anytime you see that word us, just put me there, because this is actually referring to you and her. Who has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, this is quite profound. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, guys, shall we just praise and bless the name of this God? Shall we just be excited to just give him praise and honor and glory? And somebody says, why? Simply because he has pronounced a blessing upon us. Now, but this blessing came upon us, the Bible says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, what does that mean? Somebody says, no, he's talking about, you know, that God has blessed you with, you know, the ability to prophesy, the ability to speak in tongues, you know, spiritual blessing. You know, there is a no, that's not what the Bible is saying. What the Bible is saying is that God has blessed you with everything that you will ever need in your whole life for people to look at your life and say, that guy is blessed. That woman is blessed. Everything that you will ever need in this space of time, in this place, in this interjection, like somebody will say, in eternity called life, everything you will ever need for someone to recognize this is a blessed life, God has blessed you with them already. He's not waiting to bless you with them, okay? But he says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. The reason why I put the word spiritual blessing is because it is a blessing that comes upon you at the realm of the spirit. Why is it so? Because that's where you actually dwell. The Bible says you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm, in the heavenly places. So if God was going to bless you, he would have to deliver it into your home address. And your home address is not in Hellenbrook. You know, your home address is in the realm of the spirit. And he says it's in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? It means that when you came to Christ, the day you actually came to Christ, that was the day that blessing came upon your life. Because it was delivered into your life in Christ Jesus by the reason of his chosen. The same way in the Old Testament, the Bible says that God has chosen you today to become his people. You know, God chose Israel. And because he chose Israel, the blessing of God came upon Israel. And then he now gave them an instruction to obey the commandment. So the blessing came upon them before the first step of obedience. So your life is a blessed life in Christ Jesus, in the realm of the Spirit. All that you will ever need to live a life that people will call blessed is already upon your life. So you are not, that's why I said, you are not a failure trying to be a blessing. You know, you are a blessing in the process of expressing yourself. And if you understand that, that is going to help you to understand what the Bible now talks about in terms of activating the blessing. You see, there are two different things, and I just want to explain this. Now, there is the blessing that is generated and supplied to you, okay? The blessing that is generated and supplied to you. And then there is a blessing that you will need to activate. They are two different things. You know, it's just like when you... So what God is asking you to do is to activate the blessing. Obedience only activates a blessing that is already been deposited there, is already generated, is already supplied. Obedience only activates it. I will explain it this way. Now, you've got an electrical appliance in your house, you know, maybe an iron or an electric iron or a fan. Now, when you want some fresh hair, when you want some hair to be blown over your body, obviously not in winter, you know, you take your fan and then you go to the mains, you know, and then you plug in the main. You plug the fan in the mains, and what happens? No, the fan starts to work. Now, what you have just done is that you have just activated a power. Now, you have not just generated the power. The power was already generated, prepared, and supplied, and just waiting for you in that socket. And all you are doing is that you are plugging it in to activate the power that has already been deposited. Exactly the same way. And don't take that for granted, because some people think, all I just need is to just take it and just plug it in and it starts working. Now, if you live in some nations on the earth, you will know that it's not, you can actually plug it in and nothing happens to the fan. Not because your fan is faulty, but because there was no power generated or supplied put in the socket for you. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you have lived in such nations before. You know, you can plug your fan in from now till the kingdom comes. It's not going to work because there is no power already generated waiting for you there. So we live in a place where we think that the power is you know, I mean, some of us even think that the power is like hair, is always there. You know, no, there is a generating station somewhere, I don't know, you know, that generates the power and then it's supplied and is then waiting for you there. Exactly the same way. The blessing of God is already pronounced upon you. It's already been generated. You didn't have to do that. It was not your obedience that generated that power. It was not your obedience that supplied the power and put it in the mains for you. It's already there. So when the Bible says, when Paul said, blessed be God, thank God. Thank God. There is always power there. You know, where I come from, when power just comes, we say, oh, thank God, power has arrived. Because power is not always there. All right? But Paul is saying, thank be to the Lord. There is always a blessing there. It's already in the mains. Now, so when the Bible is talking about the obedience, and we're going to talk about that in the weeks ahead, how to actually activate, by reason of obedience, how to activate the blessing. Because what I believe many of us don't understand is that what you will ever need to be able to live a blessed life is already supplied, waiting for you to plug in your fan, as it were, in order to be able to get the breeze out. And we are here, and all we're saying is, Lord, bless me. Please bless me. Please bless me. No, I say no, no. What you need to do, you are blessed. I've blessed you. It's there. I bless you the day you came to Christ, the day you got born again. The blessing of God came rushing upon you. All right, and so what you need to do is to plug it in. What I'm saying in essence is this: we need to celebrate this love that made the power available ever before we did the first right thing. Because the power, the blessing, is available right here, right now, ever before you take the next step of obedience. And God has been so good to us. And that's why Paul says, let's be excited, let's thank him. You know, the Bible says exactly the same thing in Romans chapter number 5, verse 8. He says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Exactly the same way. That's the way the blessing of God works as well. God is not waiting for you to get saved first, and then he will die for you. You know why? Because you will never get saved if he did not die for you. All right? Exactly the same way. You will never get blessed in whatsoever way if he had not generated that blessing already. So the blessing is where waiting for you. The blessing in your marriage is there waiting for you. The blessing in your business, in your career, waiting for you. The blessing to be established spiritually is there waiting for you in the means. The blessing for you to do well in your academics, in your endeavors in life, is there waiting for you. The blessing for you to be able to grow and mature, you know, as a kingdom man, as a kingdom woman, is already there waiting for you. But there is always a need to activate, and those are things we're going to be discussing in the weeks ahead. What I'm saying, people of God, is you are not a failure waiting to succeed. You are a blessed person. The beginning of your blessing is not in your obedience to the commandment. It started in your belonging to the commander. The beginning of your obedience, or rather, the beginning of your blessing is not in your obedience to the commandment. It is, in fact, in your belonging to the commander. So you are blessed. There is an empowerment upon you. There is a power for you to be fruitful. There is a power for you to multiply. There is a power on you to have your life filled with all good things. There is a power already on you, and you and I just need to be excited about the blessing that is already upon you today. And then, like I said, in the weeks ahead, by the grace of God, we're going to begin to unpack how to activate this blessing. Because the blessing could actually be there from now till the kingdom comes, and you will never be a beneficiary of it, simply because you have not activated it. The Lord bless you. Shall we pray?